So, okay, this is one of those opportunities where I think I'm going to take the leeway of that we're not committed fully to the Sefer here to go a little bit in a different order. I think I mentioned last week that I was a little surprised that he threw the Tam Ki Ikar, which again, you may not know what that is exactly yet, we're going to discuss, but that's the beginning of what I think is the next part of Basar Bechal, which we will get to. But I think the natural progression is one more set of halachos, then we will take one turn back to the beginning of Basar Bechalov, and I think then we'll be prepared, Meretz Hashem, next time to move on with Tarovis and the order that he has over here. Before we do any of that, I'll share with you a question that I got yesterday. I got a frantic call from a senior girl in high school, one of my daughter's friends, that she was, one of the girls was eating her salad, and she stole a cucumber from her salad, and then her friend told her that it was a chicken salad. And she wanted to know if she's now fleishik and has to wait 6 hours or not. No,
we actually learned this. You taught, we put the cheese and the meat together in the fridge. It's the exact same thing.
What's
you
that?
Said, because since, remember you had the cheese and the meat, you could package in the same thing. Right. All you have to do is wipe off the thing. There's no, first of all, it's cold. Second of all, there's no chicken here.
But she didn't wipe it off.
I understand, but it wasn't the meat or the cheese, it was the cucumber.
Oh, okay. So good. Anybody,
No, I'll support that with if there is anything there, then there's a bottle.
So we haven't figured out what the shear of bittul is. Again, what we do know, let's just put together, what we do know is that if it's what we call a tavshil shalbasa, if they were cooked together, right, the potato from the chalant, that there's no question that if you take the potato out of the chalant, you still have to wait the full 6 hours. We assume that the taste, the fattiness, whatever it is all absorbed into that potato, and it's like the meat. Over here, it wasn't cooked together. I asked her what she said. It was mixed. It was together, but she said, so again.
Was the chicken cold when it went in, or would that not make?
I would presume yes, because otherwise you're going to ruin your salad. That's like I was learning Hilchos Shabbos as my shiur in NYU. So there's a chumra in Hilchos Shabbos of davar gush, which we mentioned a little bit also, that the things that are solid maintain their heat and therefore can still cook even when they're put into a kli sheni, like a potato. So there is a certain chumra that exists of being very careful about putting raw vegetables on the same plate next to the chalant, because if the potato from the chalant gets onto the raw vegetables, it could in theory cook it. Now, logically that's true. The only difference is that if you cook the lettuce, you ruin the lettuce. Right? Nobody wants cooked lettuce. It's disgusting, right? So I'm not so sure that you need to be so machmir in that case. So presumably here it was all cold. So the only question is there any? I think right. Since the only reason you have to wait is either if you have the fattiness or the thing itself. So then presumably here, unless she thought there was possibly a piece of chicken on the cucumber, she thought that she couldn't. She was so shocked. She actually thought that the other girl was making up that it was chicken just to get back at her for taking her from her salad, and and causing her to be
that would never happen with our esteemed young lady.
No. So but she thought that there was nothing on it. So there's nothing on it, and I think everybody's right. I don't think there's any reason to have to wait in such a situation, and we were able to save her the pain of being fleishig. Okay, that was yesterday's Shiloh. So what we've been talking about until now is all the different permutations and examples of any possibility of eating meat and milk together, meat and cheese together. So we've discussed cooking them, we've discussed salami and cheese sandwich all being forbidden, we've discussed waiting in between them because it's as if you're eating it together because there's something lingering. And the last little bits that we're talking about were different situations in which they may have touched. And last week we took it probably to what we would have thought was the extreme. We made certain people a little uncomfortable, right, Amy? Right, with using the same tablecloths, things which may have gotten dirty, and how do we keep the the differentiations of between things like that. I want to take it one final step. The final step is going to be the things that are absorbed into it. But the absorptions, that's what we're going to leave for next time. What I want to get to is the following case. As a general rule, we're going to assume that the problem here is going to be that we know a little bit too much. So we're going to have to forget some things that we know. We're going to assume that everything that we're talking about today is cold. And therefore, anything that we know about things potentially being absorbed and coming out, none of that is going to apply to our discussion. We are dealing with what we call mamashus, if there's anything that is physically there. And the question is, if you know that you have a kli, you have a vessel, you have a bowl that is fully clean, can you use it for the opposite type? Can you use it for the opposite type? Meaning, you have, let's take, because it's probably the easiest example, you have a
flea.
Okay, let's not know all that stuff yet either. The glass, not glass. Let's assume that you have a metal bowl, okay? But your metal bowl went into the dishwasher, right? You could look at that metal bowl, and you would not be able to tell if you were buying that metal bowl in Bed Bath & Beyond, or if it was coming out of your cabinet. It is 100% clean. It is a fleishik metal bowl. Are you allowed to serve that Caesar salad that's been troubling us with the Parmesan cheese in it? Are you allowed to serve it out of that bowl?
Midoraisa or midrabanan, it makes a difference.
It's certainly not do-rice. Again, let's just get do-rice.
No, what I mean is the 24 hours takes away any essence.
Do-rice, we need it to be cooked together, right?
Okay.
Right? Ain't no, right?
Oh, that's true.
So we're definitely not talking about right. do-rice.
So 24 hours later, you're fine.
Okay, what did you put into that metal fleishika bowl?
Let's say you put a real cut-up cheese in salad inside that bowl.
What did you use the fleishika bowl before?
Let's say you used it for chicken salad.
Yeah, but whatever it was, it came out of the dishwasher.
Cold.
Well, let's see.
That's the question.
Okay, let's assume that maybe you used it for hot. Is there a difference between cold and hot? And why should there be a difference? Why should there be a difference between cold and hot?
If it's hot, then there's a chance that the metal was bolea, and there is some remnants that you...
But it's not coming back out.
You don't necessarily know that.
Yes, I do. I know that without heat, nothing comes out.
Right.
Heat, again, that I know a little bit about the bleos, which again, we're going to learn more about. I know that nothing, whatever absorptions we sort of know about, that we're going to try to understand better, do not come in or out of a kli without heat. That is a rule. There may be slight exceptions, but normally speaking, it does not come out. Is there any concern about, again, what would the concern really be? Do we have to be choshesh that a bowl that you're taking out that has been cleaned, is it really clean or not? Meaning the same concerns that were being raised last week when I was talking about tablecloths. So I said, if you clean off the tablecloth, what's the big deal? Right, what's the big deal if you have a fleishika tablecloth and now it's been cleaned off? Why can't, again, we don't eat, again, the Rashba's chumra of eating on separate tablecloths was assuming you don't have a plate. If you don't have a plate, okay. So then, first of all, the mess is more on there. You've got maybe hot from both things. But if I clean it off, what really is the problem? The only thing to be concerned about is, well, how well do I really clean it? How well do you really clean it? As much as you put the wipe off the tablecloth, is it really fully clean? And maybe we need to be concerned, which is why I said once you throw it in the washing machine and you're using detergent and then not hot water, there's no reason that you can't use the same tablecloth. I think for both.
So the same logic for the bowl then.
Oh, so right. So are we allowed to presume? Are we allowed to presume that our kalim are fully clean?
Dishwasher? Yeah.
You look at it. But we don't always look at it. We don't always look at it before we put stuff in it. So do we have to be concerned that, again, the same way I think we might have intuited that maybe there's a little bit more of an issue when it comes to a tablecloth that is not fully clean, we don't want to think the same thing about our bowls.
Right.
Right? And maybe the difference is a dishwasher, or the difference is that you know that it's really dirty and the food was in it, you clean it a little bit better. Oh. So the pashtus is that there should not be any problem as long as you know that it is fully clean using the bowl for both. If whatever we are talking about is just cold, there should not be any problem. Meaning, if you know that your countertop, and again, I wouldn't say these are a large percentage of questions that I get. It's a good number. If you know that your fleshy countertop is fully clean, and one of the kids comes over and sticks a piece of cheese down on the countertop, there's no reason that cheese cannot be eaten. Right? Because as long as you know that it's clean. If you're not sure if it's clean, that's a totally different story. But as long as you know that it is, as long as you can presume that it is clean, then you don't have to be concerned. Oh. So now, what about, is there any difference, what AB was getting at, is there any difference between a kli that was used for hot, if I take the cholin bowl, which is, you got the Dover Gush, you got it coming straight out of this, there's probably no kli that's more fleshic other than something that's been in an oven than the cholin bowl, right? So I take the cholin bowl, and now I want to put in some sort of milchika salad. Is there? Yeah, let's assume.
Is dishwasher? Yeah.
Let's see.
Don't know if it was used for cholin.
So if it's been used again, you use it with something that's hot, and now it's been completely cleaned. Is there a problem using it for milchik at this point?
Does the salad have onions in it?
Yes, no, I don't care.
Really?
Yeah.
Is it Benyoma?
Well, that's what I was saying, 24 hours. That's what I was saying.
It's a very big difference.
Onions do not make a difference to you? How's that possible?
Yeah.
How's that possible?
I believe, we'll get to the Davar Charif later, the onions are going to make a difference in how you cut it or how you cook it. How it sits, I don't think makes a difference, but we'll get there. Again, how you cut it makes a huge difference. I'm assuming you cut it, doesn't matter. You can cut a milk or you can cut a par. You're putting cheese in. The onions can't be worse than cheese. Right? I mean, your mom is putting cheese in. You're not putting anything hot. Yeah, that's going to be the discussion when we get to the blias. I want to use it for a cold salad.
It should be fine.
A cold salad.
You wash the dishwasher, why not?
Should be fine.
No?
Should be fine.
Are we asking my wife?
Oh, well, let's get to that.
I'm not saying I'm doing it.
Okay.
I'm saying it's
so the post came right like this. That's exactly where these are all the questions that we're getting to. You go to a hotel, can you use their kalim for cold? Their kalim are kalim of Isser. Can I have a bowl of cereal, cold cereal, in the real bowl from the hotel? Can I?
If it's cold, yeah. I mean,
okay. So you, this old question, but we're gonna try to be fire. Is there any? Should there be any problem or not? Oh. So step number one is this. Stam kalim, meaning if you did not look at the kli, which is most situations, right? Most times we do not examine a bowl before we use it. So the poskim assume that stam kalim bizmaneinu, nowadays, that we have better control of being able to clean things, we have a better ability to clean them. We assume that in a normal house that's, run the way our houses are run, a kli that is in the cupboard, the cabinet, is clean and is really clean. And therefore, if you take something that is there, you can treat it as if it was clean. And if you put a fichach emenichu b'maychel me'amin ha'hofchi, So if you put the opposite type in it, so if it's a fleishig bowl and you put something milchigs in it, or vice versa, ein sarach lahadiach es hamaychal. You don't have to wash off the food, right? Washing off the food would be the solution for foods that are washable, like we discussed earlier, right? If two things touch and you can wash them off, so you can wash it off. You're allowed to wash it off. But you're not supposed to put it in that situation to begin with. Oh. And the same thing, let's shuk mug kelim shehutchu b'mediach kelim, dishwasher, we assume are going to be clean. Oh. So now, if you have a kli which has cold food of the opposite type in it, or you put something treif ends up in it. But again, everything right at this point is cold, but the dish has been used for hot. I mean, there's no reason to assume your stam bowl or whatever else in your cabbage, you assume was used for hot of the appropriate type, right? That's normal behavior. It is true that the food is always going to be fine. The food is always going to be completely fine. What that means is that when you discover that, you know, your child, grandchild, whoever it is eating yogurt with a fleishig spoon, there's nothing to be worried about. There's nothing to be worried about. Because the only thing to potentially be worried about is that you put away your spoon dirty. And that's on you, not on the kid. Right? So, and we assume that's not the case. Should you do it? We didn't get to yet. But now, Biddi Eved. Right? Biddi Eved just speaks on everything else that we have done. What is there to be concerned about? The only thing that you need to be concerned about is that the first thing that you need to be concerned about is that when you clean off, let's say, that spoon, you wash it off first with cold. Soap always helps us, so we'll get to it later. It's always good to throw soap on things. But you wash it off with cold, because again, once we introduce heat, we have a new problem. And if you have heat on top of the yogurt, which is on the fleishig spoon, then potentially you have a problem. But if, again, the regular question that, you know, or somebody poured out their cereal bowl in the fleishig sink. Okay, should be a kapara. Wash out rinse out the sink and move on with life. These things, you know, this should be the biggest stress that... It should be... Yeah, exactly. It should be the biggest stress that... it should be the biggest stress that anybody has. Okay. And again, the same thing is usually going to be true if you find... again, this is a little bit more complicated if you find a piece of cutlery in the opposite drawer. But usually those are going to be, okay, there's a little bit more heat, so we'll leave that. We'll leave that on the side. We'll leave that on the side for the moment. The question is... Is there any reason lechatchila to avoid this? Is there any reason lechatchila to avoid this? Meaning, what's wrong with it?
Maris ayin.
What's the maris ayin?
Somebody sees you eating
milk. Huda. First of all, maris.
Clean beforehand. How clean was it?
Yeah. Again, maris ayin usually assumes that the pashas that you're doing something wrong, but.
How do they know that you only used it for cold? Let's say they see the same bowl, fleishigs and milchigs. How do they know you?
I think there are more basic issues than Mara. We're going to actually, maybe hopefully a little bit later, going to get to some Mara Sayan. I think even more basic than Mara Sayan.
Minhag Yisrael is to have two sets of everything and not to use it differently.
Okay, fine. Okay, definitely Minhag, again, Minhag Yisrael is clear that we don't do this.
Well, it could also lead to you not paying attention when you put hot food into it.
So the not paying attention is the issue. The poskim are concerned, it seems to be, about two things, and they differentiate as follows. They said there are, and again, you know, certain people will fit into different categories than other people. I get that. But we'll put it, there are certain types of kalim that as soon as you finish using them, you wash them out immediately. There are other types of kalim that they sit around for a little while, in some houses, until they get washed out. That is potentially going to be an issue here. Because if you have a kli, and it's being put into something, and you put something of the opposite type into it, and it's not something which is cleaned well, we'll call it, right? It might be wiped out or something else in between, then you could certainly forget to wash it out well before you go back to using it with the opposite one. right? So again, the yogurt's not the best. Maybe it is, actually. You know, maybe after the yogurt, you'll, you know, give it a quick rinse and get the yogurt off, but until it sits around, until it's going to go in the dishwasher. But it's not going in the dishwasher immediately. Somebody will see it. It looks kind of clean, and it's a fleshiga spoon, and they're going to spoon out their chalons with it. Because why? Because that's a normal assumption of being a fleshiga kli. And therefore, the poskim assume that there is a reason to be careful about that. Is it a little bit far fetched? A little bit, but again, we've been drawing many many fences to try and make sure that nothing is going to go wrong.
Wouldn't the concern also be if you use a fleshig spoon, put the yogurt on it, you know, the kid is likely to then throw it into the wrong dishwasher also, where the heat is introduced, and then you mess up everything.
Right. So that is potentially a concern. It's much more of a concern now of how soon it's going to end up in what we would call roschim in hot. The poskim did not seem to be as concerned about that. Their biggest concern here seemed to be something about forgetting going forward. So the forgetting could be that you're going to end up cleaning it with hot, or the forgetting is that you're going to use it at all.
But you also have where you have kavush if it's long enough.
Yeah. So again, we're gonna leave kavush out for now because there are a lot of conditions to kavush. We'll have to get to them. But the poskim do have the following kula, which I think makes a lot of sense. It might rattle some people, but I think it makes a lot of sense. If you're dealing with a kli, that does normally get washed out, nobody leaves these kalim dirty around, then what is the real concern? There is no concern me'ikar hadin. The only concern is what we call the minhag Yisrael, and I'm not making light of that. And therefore, the real reason to keep everything separate is because minhag Yisrael is very strong to keep our kelim completely separate. However, what do you do in the following case? Let's say you have a lot of guests for Shabbos, and you want to make your Shabbos table beautiful, and you're short a salad bowl. And the only salad bowl that you have is a milchik salad bowl. And
what is it made out of?
We'll call it made out of metal. It's a nambe. It's a fancy metal.
I thought you were saying some
Hebrew. N-A-M-B-E with a schmitzik on top of the E.
Nice.
Okay. So if you're short the kli and you want to put the chicken salad in it. So let's assume everything's cold. You're the type of person that cleans it up always right away.
It's not even the evidence anymore.
Right. Well, that's the question. Question is such a situation considered? L'chatzchila doesn't always mean before you do it. Let's call it shas hadchak. Now, how serious is shas hadchak? For some people, not having the right kelim when your guests are there is a bigger shas hadchak than other. But I think the way to formulate, and the way the poskim do, is was the minhag. If we're dealing just with the minhag, and we're not dealing with ikar hadin, was the minhag said in such a situation? Was the minhag said in the difficult shas hadchak situation as a one-time use, as opposed to don't do it consistently? The minhag is to try to make sure that things stay separate. But if once in a while something happens, maybe it's not so terrible.
I would have more of a concern with this example.
Yeah.
And it's just the random where you have the bowl and you put it in. Here, you're short a bowl when you're having the guest. You're going to end up bringing everything in to clean together. You might end up putting
it might,
in
but again,
like
I
the
think
bowl next to it that you're washing at the same time as that bowl.
I think the poskim are assuming that we're being careful. I think that's what they're assuming. So again, lemaisa, there are definitely poskim that assume that in such a case the minhag would not apply. it's important to be aware of, because I think we don't always think that way. But again, if we understand, my point is that if we understand the structure of the halacha, then we can understand why there might be a little bit of a flexibility sometimes. If one is so appalled, but that's great. I don't do it. I'm not. But if one is in a situation and there might be somebody on the other side who's very, very stressed out about it, it may not even be a violation of the minhag.
Is that a cooler you would allow in your house?
The answer is yes and no. I would allow it. I can't possibly see my wife being so stressed out about a bowl. But if she was, then I would, yes. The answer is I would allow it. I would not have a problem using one of our, or taking a milchik bowl if we were stuck. Again, if we were stuck, and using it for a cold fleshik something, and then just getting it right away to the, rinsing it out immediately afterwards.
Okay, but so it's only on the table when there's nothing else on the table?
No, it's on the table with everything else. On the table with everything else.
So the chalk fork else. Can go into
exactly.
That salad.
You know, the word yeah. Doesn't make sense.
It's cold!
But it doesn't make a difference.
I don't understand.
It's cold!
We learned challah that's cut, it's on the table, you can't take
exactly.
So how could you
no, and you can't eat that with cheese!
So how could you possibly?
But the hot chalk
my
fork?
My bowl is clean. Maybe your bowl is not clean.
It's clean now, but the salad that's in there could be
the cow that's in there already has chicken in it. What's the difference between the chalent and the chicken?
Because the chalent, my hot chalent on my fork, and I dip it into the chicken.
The hot chalent on your fork isn't hot by the time it gets into the salad.
So you're not worried about anything.
The bowl is straight, right?
True. It's not.
I think it's
okay. We can go home now.
I'll give you a different. That was part of the point. Part of the point was a little shock. I'll give you a different example. For those who still have a little children or grandchildren, how many high chair tops do you have? Yeah, I'm listening.
That's the problem.
Wait, I'm listening. I'm listening.
You're right, it's a thing.
We have two.
We have
but
to.
The problem is that
exactly.
You can't eat off of it.
That's the truth. They're both true.
But the problem is that those kids are under age of mitzvah anyways.
So you're not looking at your mechan. So you would let them eat the yogurt with the flashing fork, also, right?
No, I'm just saying that.
I don't think why is it even less of a problem? But again, assuming that people clean off.
You could put something.
Usually you don't put you right. Yeah. Usually you're careful. Usually you're careful. Okay. Again, I was saying it a little bit more to make a point. If it's all clean, then you're right. It's children, and what are we violating? Possibly the minhag. That's it. So I don't know. Again, Pesach is different. We're not talking chametz now. Not talking the chomer of Pesach. We tried for a very long time to have two different things. I don't know if we succeed or not. It's not simple. It was more of a challenge in terms of washing it off in the sink and the things like that. But if you understand the construct of the halacha, I don't know how serious of a concern it is, as long as you're cleaning it. So the more that you keep the things clean, then if something gets... The summary, because then I want to get to the Maris Ayin, in the original Maris Ayin context, so we can see if we want to apply it here before we finish for tonight. The summary is that if we understand the way the halacha is working, then the really time we only have to be concerned is if there's going to be mamashus touching. Again, unless we're introducing heat, which we're not at this point. And then it's extra exerted. Oh, well, you might forget to wash. Okay. But we have to, put everything in perspective. So is the minhag Yisrael to try to keep things as separate as possible? Absolutely. Should you keep the minhag Yisrael? Yes. But is it important that if you're in a difficult situation, that you have some clarity on what you could do and what you can't do? I think that's also important. And then that will bring us again, well, what do you say about if you are in a hotel, can you use their bowl for cold cereal? It's no different, right? It's balua with iser. Not with chalant, With, I don't know.
I thought Rav Schechter Paskin that you could do it one time. You could use one. You could use it, as long as it's within 24 hours, it hasn't been used, and you could use it one time.
But you don't know.
I don't know what, again, I'm not sure what
you're saying. I think it was Rav Schechter.
I'm not sure what exactly you're saying. It's interesting that he said 24 hours. He was concerned about something hot.
I think so. I was worried about something hot, I think. In that goal.
I don't know. Again, I'm not going to comment on that because I don't know. I didn't hear that from Schechter. But based on what we were saying, if the bowl is clean and it is a one time use, I don't think it's even a violation of the Minhag Yisrael. But because again, you're not doing it consistently. You're stuck. You need a bowl. So if you need a bowl, and again, we're not talking about the cervejas in your kitchen, then the concern that we have here is not much. And I don't know that one needs to be concerned about such a situation. So again, that might be a little more comfortable of a situation, but I think it is very similar if we take it out of the context of our homes. Okay, the last thing that I want to get to is actually the first siman in Hilchos Basar B'Chalav. There was something else I saw here, but I can't find it now. I should have marked it off. Okay, I can't find it now. Okay, the first siman in your day here is actually discussed as Marasayan. And Marasayan is a very, very interesting halacha. We saw the beginning of Simen Pei Zayin. But then it says as follows.
Are you saying Hilchos Kashrus starts off with Marasayan?
It's in the first Simen. It's not the first halacha. The first halacha is Kasuba Torah, Losuba Shal Gadil B'Chalevimo. They start with the basics. But the Rama right away throws in V'nagu Lasos Chalav Mishkedim. What if you have almond milk, and you want to cook chicken in almond milk? Doesn't sound particularly appealing to me, but I don't know. Maybe there's such a recipe. More likely nowadays is you're putting soy cheese on your hot dog, or real cheese on your soy dog, or your, I don't know, whatever, your impossible something or other, whatever it is. Since it's only midrabanan, you're allowed to do it. But if it was meat, you would have a different problem. Now, what's the mechaber getting at?
No one's going to know it's from Shkedim, good.
So there is a distinction in the halachos of Marasayan. Usually we say that let's try to define it first. How do we define Marasayan? Actually, so my friend Rabbi Leibowitz wrote it well. What?
Something that you're doing that looks like it's wrong.
That is wrong. So again, you are doing a permitted act, but it looks to be, forbidden. Now, the problem is that the poskim assume that this does not include something permitted that people think is forbidden because they don't know halacha, right? Which does come up sometimes also. So it has to be that again it looks like it is forbidden. The halacha is that anything which is asur mishamara sa'ayin is asur afilu b'chadre chadarim. Even if there is nobody else around, I am at home and I am in private, I'm still not allowed to do it. If there would be other people around, then it would be forbidden because of maris ayin. However, that is only if the maris ayin is on an isser de oraisa. If the potential isser people are going to think that I'm violating it is an isser de rabbanan, then it is only forbidden in front of other people.
So that's why the chicken was
okay. That's the distinction between the chicken with the almond milk and the meat with the almond milk. So meat with almond, and again, we're going to get to the nowadays in soon. But again, just in terms of the construct for now, if I have meat with almond milk, then I'm not allowed to cook that together, even in private, even in my own home with nobody else around. Why? Because if somebody would see me doing it, they would think that I'm violating an isser from the Torah, and therefore it's also even in private. But if what I'm cooking is chicken, and chicken is obviously different, looks different than meat, so nobody would think that I'm violating the Isser D'Oraisa. They would only be think that I'm violating the Isser D'Rabbanan. Therefore, I'm allowed to do it in private. I just can't actually do it in public. Now, the question, so is there any way out of it? So the Rama writes what the way out of it is. If you put almonds in it, then that's okay. Because then, at least it's logical, somebody should say, oh, well, why are there almonds in the milk? Oh, there's a such thing as almond milk. Right? Yesh lehaniach etzel acholav shkedem mishum arisa ayin.
So this is the reason why they soy milk at the end with coffee, where they used to have the container.
Back in the day.
Right.
Yes.
But nowadays.
Back in the day.
Margarine had to be out of the
right. Exactly. Exactly. So that, but that was already a little bit of a cool. So again, when it comes to, the question is, when it comes to all these imitation foods, should they be permitted or should they not be permitted? Again, power of creamer was, again, the, I guess, the biggest breakthrough in the kosher world when it came to these things. So originally, the original psak from the poskim on this was that you need to leave out the container with the par of creamer, again, in order to avoid marasayin. And they assumed that having the container there, even though it's a little bit different, the Shulchan Aruch, I think you have the almonds there, not just a sign. But they assume that having the container there, or having some sort of sign there making it very clear, is going to be sufficient in order to avoid maris ayin. As we develop, and it is less common to drink milk nowadays than to drink all these other weird things, then certainly maris ayin changes. Because maris ayin has to do with what people perceive that you are doing. And therefore, you would not, if you have, you're at a wedding and they have some sort of milk-like product in one of those little silver thingies, they don't have to say that it's pariv, because it's obvious that it's pariv. If it's not pariv, so then they have a bigger problem, and they're not putting a sign out saying it's not pariv. So they're assuming that it is pariv, but the isser of maris ayin, goes away, and that continues to develop. So as the different products, so again, for a long period of time, some of the poskim thought that it was problematic to put cheese on the soy dogs. Why? Because the soy dogs, they weren't so common yet. And if the onlooker is going to think that you have a hot dog with cheese on it. But as the time keeps developing, the Isser of Maris Ayin, in a certain sense, again, halacha doesn't change, but the halacha changes here because the maris ayin changes. There is no perspective of doing something which is forbidden, and then, again, that continues to develop. So there are times they try to, you know, put in. We had this issue for a while with the RCBC. We were trying, as these things were coming out, and these fleishik restaurants were having these cheese products on top of it. You have it with the cheese, and you have it with the bacon. They sometimes look. So we pushed for a very long time that it has to say power of cheese. I'm not sure what the rest. They were all saying we're crazy. It's like everybody knows. It's. And again, and the pashtus is that it's not a real problem, RSI, and it looks weird. It looks weird. Similar, I think,
it's a guy, don't know.
Similar to the whole, I don't care if the guy, I don't care if the guy.
RSI is not with a guy?
I don't think so. Ooh. What's the guy going to think
you're
doing?
You're going into a store in the Levad. So the assumption of someone looking
maybe that helps a little bit. But I think what we were struggling with was the same thing that the OU was, this whole article with the whole thing with the impossible pork, where they finally refused. It wasn't an isser, but how can you give an OU on pork? It doesn't matter if it's fake or if it's not fake. At a certain point, it's pasnished. What?
But there are other products with pig names that they were okay with.
So I don't know. On this one, I know
this one doesn't make sense.
This one certainly makes sense. Maybe the other ones don't make sense. This makes sense. It's Madna. So again, so that is the that is what the poskim assume. So again, as these things become normal, then we don't have to be concerned. We don't have to be concerned that the power of cheesecakes and all these other things. Another interesting thing, again, which relates to this, maybe it just brings us full circle, is that even if there's something which is a problem because of Maris Ayin, if you're bringing it out after the fleishiks, let's say it's a cheesecake and there were no power of cheesecakes, or not, it's not so common, do you have to, if it's only going to potentially be a violation of what we would call the hamtana, of the waiting in between, do you have to be concerned about that? And then post-Gosuma Ikara, then you do not have to. Wow. You do not have to. The concern is about eating them together. Which again, it just speaks to the multiple layers of building one thing on top of the other that we have been dealing with, and you don't have to go that far. Okay, I think that more or less wraps up Basar B'chalav. What we have to figure out next time, as we go forward, is now we've been dealing with what's actually physically in the Kalim. But we've been hinting the whole time is that there are sometimes things inside the walls of the Kalim. What are those? How do those get out? Where do we have to be concerned? So that will take us to the next part and probably bring us into a little bit of the realm of what we call Taroves. When you have these different mixtures, how much of a concern do we have in what scenarios? And then we'll get back to this book as well. Okay, Shkayach.